At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
No. Okay, but yes, it's been phenomenal. One, I want to thank you for creating the platform. My whole thing in coaching with transformational coaching, life coaching, and transformational speaking is getting people to believe in the visions that God gave them. So It's nice to see someone take action on birthing the dreams that they had in their mind. That's all what I'm for, because you never know what comes from that. God has us do things on purpose, in purpose, but a lot of the times we don't act. So I'm grateful that you were able to do it and see the divinity runs its course. Everybody was so active and a willing participant to be a part of it and to support you. I definitely been keeping up a little bit with your page. I'm not the best because I'm also in purpose on purpose, but I definitely intentionally come to your page and he's here with a mission. So I'm grateful that you have taken on your calling in your life.
Yeah, well, first of all, I appreciate that. I told somebody the last interview I had. So I've been doing podcasting for about 5-6 years, on and off. One started off with a group of friends, and then I've done 3 by myself. I kind of envision them kind of like similar to like albums in my life. And I feel like I get to a point where I kind of outgrow them. So the title changes and I kind of found myself in like a vicious cycle. I'm like, where I continue, like, okay, you're doing it. And then you stop, and then you want to do it again, you want to pick it up. And I think this time, maybe I'll say probably a month ago, honestly, I was like, you don't even love it no more. You know, it's not even something that you find fulfilling. And I recently got baptized a couple weeks ago, and for the first time, and something, I was like, God led me to go to Threads for some odd reason. It was just like, give Threads a try again. And I didn't really think nothing of it. I was just saying different things that came to my mind. And I was like, let me see how many people will fish this idea. And to see so many people have done it, I mean, God really has truly been amazing to connect with people like yourself and so many other great people. So I really do appreciate that. I really do think I am kind of getting to the point of my call and really fully embracing it. I think that's the best way I can say that. So tell me a little more about you. I mean, I know a transformational coach and speaker, and I always say that I'm a firm believer that there is a reason to how we get to this point. So how did we get to this point in your life today?
Absolutely. So in all honesty, God has been building me for this purpose for quite some time. Like a lot of people, you know, my life circumstances have been built off of a space of, I would say, resiliency is the best word that I can explain. Growing up as a child, my mother was victim to, you know, the crack epidemic. She was absentee from my life. I was raised in a single parent household, was privileged to have a phenomenal father figure who not only was impactful in my life, but in the community around us. At the time being, when I was growing up, like the Million Man March was going on. He was a participant in that. You know, obviously he was a part of like Boys Scouts. He was an active participant in like running youth groups for like baseball teams. And he was a city council member as well. So I got to see my dad really be influential, not only to us as he grew us in his household as beautiful spirits that were growing. I believe that our children are really just growing adults. And he treated us as such. He gave us the flexibility and room to like truly flourish in whatever our creativity sparked, but also tried to nurture us and guide us in the right direction as well. So I love that about him. And that kind of has guided me to where I'm at now. Fast forward to, unfortunately, at the young age of 10, my father was on vacation having the time of his life. And the last day, a tidal wave came over his head. And it took us 10 days to get him back into the United States. Don't worry, I've healed from this. So this is why I can speak freely on this. But I realized that everything happens on purpose, in purpose, because God gifted me somebody so phenomenal in my life, but only gave it to me for such a short period of time, so that I valued it so much that as I continue on with life, of course, I go through my phases of grief. I've had resentment. I've had anger. I was upset that my father took that parent. I mean, you know, that God took that parent, per se, the active parent. But over time, I healed. And throughout my healing process, going through therapy, this is all, like I said, in high school, you know, going through therapy and all that great stuff. Sports was my outlet. It was my thing to get away. It was my thing to release myself in. It was my thing to dedicate my time towards. But also, one of my coaches seen something in me that I didn't see in myself in that dark season of my life. They saw leadership qualities in me and kind of forced me into roles of captains and things like that. I actually became the most athletic girl in my class. I played basketball, volleyball, ran track. And then I was the captain of all the sports and was the most athletic woman of my class, like I stated. So fast forward, so I go to college, I pursue sports. I have a health and society minor and psychology degree because I wanted to understand why I was the way I was, as well as why the new environment that I moved into was so chaotic, I would say is the best word that I can say. But it was because of their growing up and, you know, their environments that they grew up in as well. So understanding people became a passion for me, and doing that through sports was how I stepped into the industry of personal training. And personal training, you know, you have to take control of your mind. You have to take control of your habits in order to really see results. So I always tell my clients back then, I've been a personal trainer or was a personal trainer for over 10 years of my life. In order to change the body, you must first change the mind. Through personal training, I taught people how to get out their way and get to their goals. But as I have a deep passion for people and understanding people and a deep care for just being a supportive friend and guidance, I help hold them accountable in different ways outside of just their weight loss goals once they found the confidence and started to see the results. So they told me, man, you're doing way more than just helping me with my weight loss goals. You're getting me into new careers. You're having me walk away from relationships. You're getting me to think of life in a broader way. So my clients told me who I was. They told me I was a transformational coach. So eventually, you know, you hear things over and over and over again, and then you stand in it because it's a sign from God. So eventually I stood in being a transformational coach. And one day, one of my coaches from back all the way in high school, which is why I dig deep and went back, ended up hitting me up and telling me while I'm on the guide of being a transformational coach and helping people outside of just the realm of personal training, I ended up creating books. I was like, if I can duplicate myself or teach people the process, then I can really be of assistance and tap more souls, because doing it on a one-on-one basis can become very overwhelming at times, right? Eventually, my coach asked me to come speak to her girls, and she's a really prominent figure in this world. She was an Olympic athlete before. So she had an NFL player that was coming to speak to her girls. But she said, I would be more impactful with the backstory that I have of my life to these women, because I not only sat in those seats, but my story has been so transformative of where I have become as a light in this world, a light worker in this world. So I got on stage and I had a fear of speaking. I'm not even going to cap. Like most people, it's like the number one thing that people are afraid of. But having somebody, that very coach that I told you that saw leadership qualities in me and was the first coach to push me into becoming a captain of the team, I couldn't let her down. I could not. So I ended up stepping on the stage and it just worked. Me just spilling myself out, my organic, authentic self, it moved people. So now I've stepped into that, because anytime I see that uncomfortable feeling within myself, I try to lean in it, because typically that's where you find real growth and transformation. So this is how I got to the space of now being a transformational coach and being a transformational speaker.
That is, first off, thank you for sharing all that.
You're welcome.
I always find those experiences very powerful for the simple reason you mentioned at the age of 10. Just experienced something that I feel like would alter anybody's life. And I'm sure that you had your waves of trying to figure out the meaning of all that. It's always really beautiful to see how people turn that into a positive upturn. Because the truth is that the struggles that we experience can be used as a story for somebody else down the line. And there's never really a right or wrong time for those things to happen. So when I hear about these stories, I'm like, man, like imagine if this happened later? Like, does the life of this person change? Does the root of that person change? Does their purpose change? So I think that's beautiful. So how long did you do personal training again?
Uh-oh, my headphones are dying. What did you say? I'm sorry.
No, so how long did you, how long were you personal trainer?
So I personal trained for over 10 years. So it was a long time. I managed several gyms at one time. I mean, I was a really dominant personal trainer. I started my own online virtual coaching program well before the pandemic, but I studied the minds of the greats and I knew we were moving into a digital era. As well as I wanted to create impact for those that may not be so economically strong as well. So I wanted to make myself cheaper and affordable so that there could be a balance between physically being in person with me one-on-one and also having the option of, you know, nurturing that relationship on a virtual basis as well. So I did that back 2015 is when I first started my virtual coaching, well before we moved into the digital world.
Yeah, that's beautiful here. So you speak about mindset a lot. And I kind of even explained to you my experience with the struggle of mindset at times. What do you think is the number one way to overcome the mindset challenges that people experience?
First, we have to disassociate from limiting beliefs. I think that's the biggest thing and hurdle is that oftentimes, like, we get over, you know, like 10,000 thoughts so very quickly in our life. And the thing is, understanding that you're supposed to experience that, embrace it. You know, everything is not going to be all positive. And any coach that tells you it is, they're lying to you, you know? So understanding that you're going to have these thoughts, you're going to have these different feelings and emotions that arise. But the most important thing is, which ones do you lean into? Which ones do you disassociate with? So understanding that you are in control of your thoughts, you are in control of your actions, you are in control of your habits. You get to respond to anything that not only the outside world brings to you, but internally, that internal dialogue that you have, it's your job to like manage it and really kind of break off from anything that really doesn't associate with your true soul's desires. So I think that's the biggest thing. One of the biggest things is really overcoming those limiting beliefs. And there are some exercises that you can do. I want to share one with your audience, if you don't mind, real quick.
Please do.
Yes. I was like, I learned this. No, this is not for me, but I, like I said, I studied the minds of greats all the time. So Lisa Nichols is one of my mentors. And with Lisa Nichols, she would tell you to write in pencil your limiting belief. Write down that, you know, I'm not smart and I'm not capable of receiving my dreams. Whatever it is, whatever limiting beliefs that you really have about yourself. I don't have enough time in my life. You know, whatever that limiting belief is, write it in pencil and then get a red pen and write the thing that combats that. And then you want to read your list day in and day out. But the red is going to stand out more prevalent than the pencil is. And eventually, you want to get to the space after a week of doing this exercise every day, morning and night, you want to erase the limiting belief and just leave your truths there. And that can start to help cultivate a new mindset. Like, we have to do exercises. We have to kind of play with our minds sometimes and really trick ourselves into believing the true truth about ourselves. And that is a great way, a great exercise and practice that you can implement today to get over your limiting beliefs.
Why does Lisa Nichols sound so familiar?
She was on The Secret. Have you ever the documentary and the book?
Yeah. The book, The Secret, right? About like manifestation and things like that. But you don't mind, I'm going to try to look her up real quick.
No, by all means.
Yeah, I know exactly who she is. Yeah, wow. This is a mentor? Wow.
Yeah, so I just was with a program with her for 6 months. We just finished up in October with our six-month program. But absolutely, yeah, 40 people in the room. That is my mentor going day in and day out, you know? So
yeah. That is crazy. Yeah, no, I watched the interview of hers a couple years ago. And I'm going to ask you a question about people that you've I guess studied, because you say you like to study the greats. So I'm assuming she was one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who else is like people that you've kind of like modeled maybe some things after?
So Nipsey Hussle, that's my boy. Rest in peace. I really love his community impact and his the way that he nurtures those that look like us. You know what I'm saying? And continue to pour back into the community that he came from. I think that's very prevalent because a lot of times people can reach a certain level of success and then walk away from their environment. But it's a way to continue to grow and put yourself in rooms where you expand yourself, but still be there of support if you are willing and open and available to receiving the love that I have to pour and share on you. So I love how he implemented life. I'm going to take it back. Of course, MLK, during the times of that life was really difficult for, you know, African Americans and really just trying to fight for a real life freedom that we get to experience now in today's world, to have that level of resiliency where your life is on the line, where your family is in jeopardy, you know, and to continue to push forward with the movement. Man, that's so powerful. And I'll give you a third one. My freaking father, you know, I got to see a real life flesh example of somebody day in and day out really implementing change as best as he can in his environment. And honestly, my city that I'm from, originally from Flint, Michigan, moved to Detroit area. He had a day named after him when he passed. So that's how impactful he truly was in our community. So being able to see those people really thrive and strive no matter what adversity comes their way kind of has pushed me to realize that no matter what I go through on this journey, I'm capable with God on my side.
Wow. That is beautiful. You're also the second person that I've interviewed that's from Detroit or lives in the, in the Detroit area. My mentor, my mentor is also from Detroit. And the funny thing is I have never met him a day in my life, but he gives me some of the greatest things. He's a retired doctor, but he's great. Shout out to Dr. Jim. But yeah, I knew there was something there. So I'm from St. Louis and I live in St. Louis. And I always say Detroit, St. Louis, and Memphis all kind of have their own
align. Yeah.
Yeah, they all align their own way. It's like, you know, if you're not from there, you have like an interesting view about it. But the people who are from these places, they rep their hometown like no other.
Like no other. And I was about to say Detroit versus everybody now. No controversy, though.
That's a real thing, but I feel like every Midwest city or smaller city feels that way. So that's cool. You mentioned Nipsey Hussle, and I concur with that thought. Nipsey Hussle was also one of my inspirations as well, just simply because of the music. I know that some people kind of discovered Nipsey after his tragedy. I was probably a fan of him maybe about 3 or 4 years before he died. And then I got a chance to watch some interviews, man. But he just had a different mentality that I think everybody would love to embody if they can. Staying true to yourself, to your roots, and who you are, while also trying to uplift yourself and other people. And I think he did it in the most authentic way possible. And so as being a transformational coach, and working with people on a give and take on your perspective, how long do you usually think it takes people to truly change these things? Like you just mentioned that limiting belief example, which I think is great. I'm going to use it myself.
Yes.
How long do you think they can change, if that makes sense?
Right. Well, in reality, I would say this. Habits can be changed within 21 to, they say, 90 days or so. But realistically speaking, that's somebody that's in action actively. Yeah. So, of course, we are all human. So we have moments that we slip or have lapses, and we have to account for that as well, because sometimes that puts a master reset on our journey, depending on how long we sit that dream down or how long we are not in practice of those exercises. So it's contingent upon how serious people are, to be honest with you. But in reality, that span of time for a real change of the mindset shift. And just because you have a mindset shift, let me be organic and authentic, doesn't mean that you'll obtain your dream. You know what I'm saying? The shift happens and you have to still stay in action and practice. And eventually you'll have that breakthrough. But if you have that mindset shift, until you have that mindset shift, you're not going to have change in your life. So it's important for you to shift your perspectives. And I really believe that within 21 to 90 days of active practice, if you stay intentional every single day with your practices, you can begin to really shift that mind to open up the doors of possibilities, if that makes sense.
No. That makes total sense. And I love that you reiterate that about the action piece. And the reason I say that is because on a day I work with teenagers.
Okay.
I'm a high school counselor by day, and I'm finishing up to get my license to be a therapist. So I do have a lot of younger clients. And the funny thing is, when I hear certain conversations, they have a very futuristic thought, but a very microwave action plan. I want to do this, and in 4 years it's going to happen, but I'm not going to do anything for real for these 4 years. I'm going to just continue to think that I can do it. If I do it once or twice a month, I'm going to get to that goal. And I think a lot of times, not even just teenagers, I just think people in general, there's a truth that we think that if we do it enough in our mind, then the breakthrough will happen. But on the other end, there's people who busted their butts for 10 to 15 years. And they're finally now getting their breakthrough. So I think I think you really nailed that on the head. It's really the action piece. I think that's really, really important. I want to transition a bit.
Okay.
So you mentioned books, you mentioned The Secret. What other books have you kind of found inspirational in your life and help you kind of cultivate this thought?
Okay. I would say, starting off, if you really want to break your mindset and really understand how many attachments may belong to you that are not yours, start off with the four agreements. Have you read that book? Okay. And that's one thing. Let me go ahead and say that for all people who are really trying to dive into personal development. Just because you read a book once doesn't mean that you truly not only understand the concept, but have the practices of embodiment. So I read books several times myself, just like you, so that I can not only hear it, but understand it, but then to begin to embody it, you know? So don't negate, if you find that a book really feeds your soul, read it multiple times, just like that Secret. I watch The Secret twice a year, minimal. Just to make sure my mind is reframed. And each time I see something new, each time a new possibility opens. So like, when you find something that really speaks to you, make sure you put it into practice intentionally as well. So the four agreements is one that I go back to as well. Knowing, if you want to know, just to your audience members, since you're aware of it, the four agreements really talks about how, coming into this world, we are already in agreement with a lot of different things. For instance, you're already associated with whatever sex, gender, whatever the case may be, whatever religion you're going to be in, whatever environment you're growing up in, all of those things, your name, all of those things are already established for you. But the understanding how to embody and take back control of your mindset, your agreements, what really associates with you, it kind of goes into the different four agreements that you can really start to break down how to disassociate yourself from things that you may not want to be associated with anymore. So for instance, for me in the religious department, I am spiritual. I'm not religious. I grew up in a faith-based home that was based on Christianity. Starting off with my father, I was a Baptist. And then growing up with my grandmother, when I moved there after his passing, I ended up being Seventh-day Adventist. And that is a very strict spiritual religion for Christianity. Not saying that I didn't take things from it. Just because you disassociate from something as well doesn't mean that you have to release everything. But I still consider myself to be very spiritual because I've opened up my mind to a greater understanding of myself and realizing that, you know, God lives within me. So I am a God. If I walk in the spirit of God, you know what I'm saying? That's how I feel personally, not trying to push my views on you or anybody else, but understanding what true power lives inside of me. But walking in the lane of Christianity, that doesn't fit into that box. You know what I'm saying? So I had to learn how to disassociate. Not saying that I don't think that the Bible has great things. I still read my Bible faithfully. Not saying that Christianity is not rooted in greatness, but I had to learn how to disassociate myself for certain things so that I could open up my world of possibilities for me and myself. So that book kind of helps guide you to navigating those type spaces, because that one could be a very, very difficult one to overcome if that's something that's embodied in you and you truly have belief in God. So I gave that practice, even though I know it's very controversial, so that you could truly understand how enlightening that book gives you that freedom to really explore who you are as an individual. So that's one of
the four agreements. I mean, the four agreements is, I always say everybody should read it at least at least two or three times, because you learn how difficult it is to follow all four, especially the first two. Yes. You know, be impeccable with your word. What's the second one? I know, don't assume. I think there's the third one. I cannot remember the second one.
Here, look, Google is our best friend. Let's get to it.
Yeah. Be impeccable with your
word. Got the order. Yeah, I was like, I don't have the order.
Let me see. This is why we got to use Google.
Be impeccable with your words. Don't take anything personally.
Yes. That's the second one. I knew there had to be a second one. Yes. So those two alone, I can still say is something that I think everybody struggles with. I know that the second one, especially the personal one, I think that is probably the hardest one to do. Just because our emotions are wrapped in with everything and depend on the relationships with people and what we hear and how we take it. That is by far the most difficult thing.
Definitely.
So, yeah, you do have to read that book a couple of times. So, yeah, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, that, you know, I hear people talk about it and I'm like, if we go further, I'm like, I think about the seven spiritual laws of success. Secret is one. I'm trying to think of the other ones that's kind of crossed my mind. There's a fifth agreement. There's so many other ones that just really helped me just become a better person. The Alcibus.
Yeah, the Alchemist for sure. You know which one that is outside of the realm of quote unquote personal development, but kind of opens up your mind to how we have taken the four agreements to another level and understanding really how to manage our time and things like that. Have you heard of the 4-hour work week? By Tim Ferriss. The 4-hour work week, I would say, is a must read as well, because it really understands that, you know, we got to make a living out here to actually live life. You know what I'm saying? But most people are really not even living life. They're just going through life, because we have these jobs, especially here in America, that takes a lot of our time up. You know what I'm saying? We spend more time a lot of the times with our coworkers than we do with our family. And understanding the association of money to time and really how to put that into play in your life. Like, I started to get to a space where I don't wash my clothes anymore because it takes too much time. I have somebody else do it because I can buy my time back in order for me to be able to do something else where I can make more money and be able to allow that skill set to be utilized and not pay for it. But understanding that makes sense, because my time is way more valuable than spending that time on normal day-to-day tasks like that. So that book kind of really opens you up to really understanding the value of time and really associating how much you make compared to what time you're spending with a certain activity as well. So I would highly, highly recommend that if you are in the process of trying to figure out, like I said, one of the biggest reasons people don't go after their dreams and their visions is because I don't have time. Well, do you really, is that really the case? That book will help you understand if that is the case in your life.
That's, and you know, the funny thing is, I just thought about a clip in my head that I was going to post after you said you have somebody else wash your clothes, and I see the comments. I could just see the comment in my head of somebody saying you can't be that lazy. And the funny thing is, I've always have been a firm believer that many people offer different services, and convenience wins at the end of the day. The most successful people live their life strictly off convenience, because there is so much time in the day, but also I don't think we keep in mind how much time is required to even do some of these tasks. And I'm not saying we should not do these tasks at all, but it depends on where you are in your life and what is important to you, that if you can delegate that to other things and people, and they are providing a service, then you should. I would love that at some point. I would love to have a chef. A chef would be great. Oh, just so I can just really be in a healthier space. Cause the things that we do on a day-to-day, like you mentioned, we are usually at work for 40 plus hours a week. A lot of people already aren't happy with their job. Then they have to drive potentially 30 minutes to an hour home, depending on where they live. And if you have kids and other things like that, other responsibilities, by the time it gets 9, 10 o'clock, you're not going to feel that you don't have the time, because in theory you do and you don't, but then you have to give up sleep, and that sleep affects your performance. It all it all connects. And that's so refreshing to hear. I always thought that I was crazy for thinking that. But I'm like, no, I think people really do pay for people to do the more convenient things that they can. Not because they don't want to. It's just.
Exactly. Or that they can't. Because I used to wash clothes for a long time until that book opened up my mindset. Because I really had to look at it. And honestly, if you look into it, it ain't that expensive to drop your stuff off at the laundromat. It really isn't. So understanding that in the amount of time you literally are sitting there waiting for a load to go in, sorting your clothes out, washing them, folding them up. I drop them off. I come pick them back up. I put them on hangers and I put the stuff in the drawers. I'm good to go. So, yes, that is one of the things that in my current financial standing, I can afford to do. And I buy back a lot of my time. Like similar to you, I can't wait to have a chef. Listen, and I didn't say I can't wait to have, because I'm building my life for that. So, and I also am belief of that. So this is the practices of embodiment. You got to really speak over your life, speak to your life and speak to what is yours. Because anything that you want, you can receive, you can receive, you can achieve.
Yeah. Wow, that's so refreshing. This is so refreshing to hear. You're good at what you do. So let's say, for example, if you don't mind me asking, let's say that somebody came to you and said, how do I become successful as a transformational coach? What would you say in that regard? Like, what do you think is the keys to being successful in that space?
One, the number one focus is you have to work on you first. You're your first client. Mm. And you always have to, even once you become quote unquote successful, your level of success, you still have to continue to work on you.
Yeah.
The only way you're going to continue to be able to pour into other vessels, and I say this in any world that you're in, is to be the best version of you first. Because the worst thing to do, I hear from people that are extremely successful, is to get the level of monetary success, but then be miserable inside, you know, because you have not really found out truly who you are. Some people chase dollars. Some people chase, you know, the lifestyle. Some people trace whatever it is, but really make sure that it's aligned with who you are before you go into practice of finding a career path for you. But in regards to transformational coaching within itself, personal development books are going to be great. Make sure you're in the room of people that are already doing it. That's how you really truly learn. And it does cost a pretty penny sometimes. I know the investment with my Lisa Midfield journey cost me a nice amount of money. So you got to be willing to invest in yourself, but you are your best investment. Mm. You know, you are your best. I'm going to say that one more time. You got to be willing to invest in yourself, but you are your greatest investment. So don't negate how important you are and what your worth is, because you are worthy. So number one is make sure that you really are practicing for yourself first so that you can become the greatest human being. But then if you would like to share it with others, honestly, you can just do it on a day-to-day practice. Like, this is a conversation that I'm having totally with a stranger at this moment, but I'm just being me and showing up authentically as myself. But this is what I have passion and purpose for. So wherever I go, I speak in this tone and because it's who I am. So you don't have to have clients to be a transformational coach. I know plenty of friends that speak well to other friends. They're that friend that people come to get advice. They're helping them through their life of journey. They're helping them transform their way of thinking. They can be considered a transformational coach. Like I stated, I don't have, and I'll be honest to your audience, and I'm always honest to mine. There's no certification for this, if you ask me. Of course, now these transformational coaches have created certifications, their stamp of transformation. But really, if you can connect with peoples, if you can connect with souls, and you can impact their way of thinking and help them open up the broad, you know, and broaden their way of thinking, and then can help them through that journey of, you know, implementation, then you're transforming. And that's what a transformational coach is. So I think there are a lot of people who are just day-to-day normal human beings that are transformational coaches.
Oh, wow. That was, you know, that was great. You are truly good at what you do. And I think that makes total sense. You are your first client. And I'm also a firm believer that, you have to pretend that or believe that you're already there, regardless of what people think. I think that's the biggest thing that I try to tell a lot of my friends and those who are like interested in making content. You can't really worry about how many followers you got. Like, that's already going to be discouraging, because you shouldn't be competing with that. You should be competing with yourself and what it is that you want. At some point, you get to a point where you'll look back and like, man, I did all that, and it finally caught up. Now at a point, I don't care. Like, I used to be the person where I'm not going to post it at 5 o'clock because ain't nobody going to see it or like it. But it's like, if whoever sees it, great. If they don't see it, you know.
Then they don't.
Yeah,
but it's my current authentic voice speaking through my soul in that moment. And that's what people need to see. By the way, I seen your video today and I loved it, by the way. Because it was true. In a world, as you stated, like, we live in a popcorn society now. And we live in a very superficial society now where everybody portrays perfection, you know? And it's a portrayal because nobody's perfect. Don't let this world lie to you, you know? But being able to show up as just you and say, I'm trying to figure out my thoughts, but I'm going to come on here and meet my obligations because this is what I put myself out to do. So this is what I'm speaking towards because it wasn't directly this, but basically I ain't got really nothing to talk about, but we here, we present, you know, and that's true because even in this world of content creating, like you said, a lot of people get on the space and they set out to schedule everything out and make it look all great and putting up vacations from 10 years ago and blah, 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 making it seem like they're there today. No, like, seriously, though, like, I would rather you see my true, authentic my day-to-day actions, especially as a transformational coach, because I don't want to portray something that is not my present or what I currently are experiencing or have experienced, because that's falsifying that everything's going to feel great, be great, always amazing. It's not. Mm-hmm. That's not how life is, period, for any individual. Even once you reach success, okay? They said, so understanding that I will love when I see other human beings that are living truly, authentically in the social media world, because that allows people to feel human that are on the journey or searching for the journey, to realize that you got it in you just as you are right now. You don't have the vacations, the cars, the excursions, the lifestyle, the everything they portray, because most of them ain't got it anyways. They be renting. They be standing in front of a car right there. Like, get it. Don't let the world fool you. Don't let this popcorn world fool you. But if you got the drive, the tenacity, and the willpower, you got it in you. And you just got to stay in action. So I want to encourage your audience to realize that. And you don't have to have a certain level, a certain number in your bank account to start. Not to start. You just got to start to get started. And that's what I want to encourage your audience to do. Just get going in whatever your dreams are, because they're in your head for a reason. God makes no mistakes and he gives you downloads for a purpose. So if you see it, it's yours to be birthed. It's yours to nurture. Is yours to care for. But a lot of people take, I just made a video about this. A lot of people take their dreams to the grave with them because they never really have belief in themselves that it is possible for them. But if God gave it to you, he wants you to have it. He wants you to have it.
I appreciate that.
My headphones died, so I got to figure out how I'm going to be able to hear you. Look, this is real life action of what's going on in my life right now. So, y'all got to bear with me. I got to switch out my headphones. Let me grab my other one.
No, you're good. Let me know. Let me know when you...
Shoot. Can I hear this without headphones? Let's see.
You should be able to.
Because I don't want to...
Oh.
We was in... See, the devil always trying to come in and play.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be like that. It truly do be like that.
Okay.
I hear you.
1 second.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Okay, hello? Can I hear you yet?
Yeah, can you hear me? No.
I got like 4 pairs of headphones. Crazy part is, let me tell y'all a story while I try to set this up, even though he can't hear me, but y'all can still hear me.
I can't.
Okay, cool. So listen, y'all, let me tell you how sometimes on your road to success, sometimes too, you're going to run into hiccups. That's going to happen because when you're in purpose, on purpose, the opposing force is always trying to slow you up. Let me tell you that.
Yeah.
So I actually ended up ordering all my new gear for starting podcast because, one, I knew I was coming on this podcast, so I was intentional with making sure that I was prepared for this or trying to be. And then, two, I am going to be starting my own podcast here soon, too, as well, because, you know, God showed me a vision, and I try my best to act on as many visions as he gives me. So in the process of this, I order from Amazon, y'all. Y'all know we can always count on Amazon, but not today. Oh, no, not when I'm in purpose today. Amazon talking about they late with my delivery. So all my new podcast and equipment did not come in time. So I have to use my old stuff. So hold on. I'm going to connect to my regular JLab headphones so we can get rolling back going. But I just want to give y'all that little story because I wasn't going to leave y'all out here without me. But understand that when you're in purpose, you're going to come against opposition, and that's okay. But the key is to keep going with the hurdles and the hiccups like I'm doing right now. So let me disconnect this here and we hit that road. Oh, there we go. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, I'm back.
All the way back.
I'm gonna keep it so it's still like my podcast and stuff.
No, I got you. One that was great. I mean, is I always think that things should stay authentic, and I also appreciate the compliment about the video because I've tried to be honest with myself. I think that's the thing. And I was telling somebody before, like you know, social media is very trendy. It's like day in the life videos, and you know, it's like a routine and that's just not me, for example, because to me, I think we try to hyper fixate on normal activities, which causes people to compare themselves and what they got going on. Like a simple Target run now, if it is not aesthetically pleasing, has now made people feel they're incapable. And that's just not it. I think you stay true to yourself and you go from there. I did have a final question for you, though, because I think this is a great way to wrap it up. You mentioned so many great things. What does it mean to be human to you?
What does it mean to be human to me? Well, number one, I want to say this. In my mind, we are all spiritual beings living a human experience, right? So there is the mind, the body, and the soul, right? So your mind is going to be that thing that has all those crazy thoughts that I was telling you about that you got to kind of navigate through. Those are just things that come from previous experiences, what you got going on, what your future could possibly be, all the thoughts that just run through your head, the highs, the lows, the scares, the struggles, the everything runs through there. That's your mind. You have the body. That's this flesh. And that body is going to be the thing that is capable of physically bringing those thoughts to life, right? So it is going to be the thing that you are in charge of to be able to move. But that soul, that spirit that lives in you, I think if you are being obedient in your walk with your higher power, whatever you connected to, I consider it God, then it is going to be that thing that lights your whole system up. So that's like just high level from a psychological standpoint, what I would consider the human experience is. But living as a human being, understanding that we are all just living this human experience together, right? Understanding that we all have those three different systems that intertwine as one, but we also have the option to freely move this flesh into action in different ways every day, and our flesh can interact with other fleshes, which means that we can shift and control or disrupt other human experiences as well. So I would say having a human experience is being empathetic, understanding that we are all going through this together, being caring and kind, not only to others, but most importantly to yourself, because we all have shortcomings. Being open and explorative, because like I stated, if you're connected to a higher source, which we all have it in us, you have the capabilities to create just like him. You're made in his likeness. So being open to exploring, and there's no age limit to that. If you got breath in your body, you still got an option. So if you ask me what a human experience is, it's whatever you make it. That's how I feel.
Well said. as good as, yeah, that's a great answer, and I love that. So for those who can find you on social media, where can they find you? What's your username or stuff? What platforms are you on?
Absolutely. I am most on Instagram and now Threads at Envision Speaks, but I also am on TikTok. I am also on Facebook under Envision Speaks. If you want to see daily content, go to Threads, go to Instagram. That's where I post daily. I want to just say this too as well. When you're going after your dreams, don't try to go after everything at once, you know, and don't try to be everywhere at once as well. So eventually I will be able to nurture those other environments more frequently, but my main focus is Instagram and Threads right now. So please follow me there at Envision Speaks. I believe it's on the bottom of this video. As well as I want to mention to your audience members that I run a 7-day free Unleash Your Potential Challenge, where we really kind of help you overcome procrastination immediately. And as you guys see, I like to do exercises. I'm not just going to tell you great words. I'm going to put you to the test. You're going to have to do some work, but it's going to challenge you. It's going to stretch you, but it's going to help you create a new mindset, the foundational pieces. So if you are interested in learning how to regain clarity and focus in your life, start to create and cultivate a true vision for your life, what your future truly should hold, because it's burning inside of your soul and you really want to unleash it. I want to put you through the 7-day transformational program, and it's free. We got one starting this Monday. I run them every couple of weeks or so, but this Monday, we're going to get started with our next 7-day transformational program, and I'd love to see you there. That link will be in my bio or all social media platforms. So come register, come get started.
Well said. Well, I appreciate it again, as always. And for those who are listening, will be listening, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite audio platform. Also, make sure to subscribe to your podcast whenever that comes out.
Yes.
I think it's going to be great. Do you have a name for it?
I don't yet. See, I have not gotten that far. This was an idea. Mind you, let me tell y'all how, if you're in purpose, on purpose, last thing I promise, if you're in purpose, on purpose, things will fold for you, just like they did for Mr. Young. So I posted similarly on Threads, something about my podcast. So kind of just told them what the premises will be about. And I got over 1,000 views, 50 comments, 50 likes, people saying they wanted to be guests. People said they wanted to be a part of the podcast hosted. So I have 14 people that I'm currently interviewing to be co-hosts on my podcast. So I just say, you'll be surprised what doors open if you knock.
Yep.
You gotta knock.
Knocking and the power of social media, and especially Threads. Thread, I cannot wait for you. Can't wait for y'all to have a sponsorship together. This is, you are the reason why we are here today. But again, seriously, thank you so much for being here. I'm super excited to see what you got going on, and obviously staying connected. And always much love to my people in Detroit. So to you guys who are listening, I will see you all soon. Until next time, peace.